السلام عليكم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Matt, you don't get on yet? That's one of the brothers who were talking on the TV now. His son was shot.
Oh, man.
That's a woman's friend he got on.
Yeah, that's
it.
Yeah, that's
it. Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, the Halal Industry Do For Self. As always, I like to begin with Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. We are grateful today, again, to be able to be on the program. A lot of times the difficulty, it begins to be a program, and then all of a sudden things go wrong. And that's modern technology. Last couple of weeks, we weren't able to fulfill our program as we would have liked. Last week, we weren't able to do anything. The other week, we had little problems. So we're working our way to one day on our own. And when I say on our own, I mean, it, you know, clearly, our own towers, our own studios, things of that nature. If you don't mind, right now, I'm going to do something that I don't normally do because I'm having problems signing in like I should. I'm going to give the mic to Brother James and let him begin to give a little reading of the Quran or whatever he'd like to do as he starts so I can get us in properly. I can hear myself on the air, but my studio for my computer is not open as it should be right now.
Assalamu alaikum. James Bashir. Allowing you to see do for self. I'd like to read from the second surah of the Holy Quran. It's 183, 184, and 185. O you who believe, fasting is prescribed to you as it was prescribed to those before you, that ye may learn self-restraint. Fasting for a fixed number of days, but if any of you is ill or on a journey, the prescribed number should be made up from days later. For those who can do it, with hardship is a ransom, the feeding of one that is indigent. But he that will give more of his own free will, it is better for him. And it is better for you that ye fast, if ye only knew. Ramadan is the month in which we sent down the Quran as a guide to humankind. Also clear signs for guidance and judgment between right and wrong. So every one of you who is present at his home during that month should spend it in fasting. But if anyone is ill or on a journey, the prescribed period should be made up by days later. Allah intends every facility for you. He does not want to pit you to difficulties. He wants you to complete the prescribed period and to glorify him, and that he has guided you, and perchance ye shall be grateful. Lord, Allah speaks your truth, Ms. Quran. Join us every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. standard time for an edition of the Halal Industry, Do for Self, with your host, Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal's Inc., and co-hosts James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interest of Bilal's Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength, to establish community life by doing for self, to build the model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the hosts at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us. Tweet at CWSHURAA. Email us at info@cwsc.us. Visit am360.org, Pan Corporation, Community-Wide Shore Conference at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-310-0297.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. Once again, this is Iman Wali Ayub Bilal, the Halal Industry Do for Self. And I'd like to begin our program. You know, it looks like we're on today. I'd like to start off by saying, as we open up, we'd also like to encourage you that if you have a question, a statement, suggestion, you can touch the one on your phone. And when you touch the one on your phone, we'll be able to open your mic up so you can speak if there's something you want to share. So as we start today, I want to begin, you know, I use topics, so to speak. And my topic today is the work is not done yet, and there is no shortcuts. When I look at my life, and I'm sure you do it too, everyone does it, how regular, it depends on what you're doing. But as I look at my life, I remember when I was, as a youngster, when I was seniors, Many of them couldn't read. They couldn't write. This is the 50s. I was a youngster, no question about it. But this was the 50s. And I noticed that certain things had to be read to some of my relatives by the younger group. At the time I'm talking about that I first saw it, I wasn't the one reading. But as I grew, I began to read for them. But when I first noticed it, it might have been my sister, older sisters, my older brothers that may have been reading, or even at one of the relatives' houses, and their children may have been reading for them, some of them. Didn't mean that they couldn't read in the family, that they couldn't, all of them couldn't read because they were seniors or older. They weren't seniors yet, when we use the term seniors. But they were older, but the ones that was older than them, every now and then there were family members that couldn't read. When we look at where we are today, technology have took us into another world, so to speak. This is nothing new in the creation. This is something that had to happen. This is something that myself, even as a youngster back then, as I grew, a young teenager, a young adult, many of us, the majority of us probably, we couldn't see what the future had for us, what Allah had for us written out. And I'm not just talking about our lifestyle, but the things that would be utilized by all of us, such as today's computer, the internet, being able to reach out into to the universe and cause something, some reaction that helps us move a little bit more intelligently and carefully. And this is not something like back in 400 years or so ago. Not like that. We can't capture it. Back then, they wouldn't let us read. If they found us with a book trying to read, we got punished. This is slavery I'm talking about, our forefathers. And while I'm saying that about our forefathers, we have to make it clear to many of our young who all of a sudden today want to act like they don't know that they're Americans unless they say they was of the Indian or some maybe Africans that was here living on this part of the earth prior to the slavery. How do we deny what is real? It's real that our foreparents suffered slavery. I mean, these are Muslims I'm talking to sometimes who are irate about the fact that they didn't necessarily come from that. I'm proud to say that I came from that particular. I'm proud first to say I'm a human because Allah created the first human, Adam. Now, I'm going to be messed up because 400 years of slavery was put on my foreparents. Look at what Allah allowed to happen. They came out of slavery. And even coming out of slavery, the bankers at one time, where they burnt down these banks, the bankers were previous slavery, slaves. The soldiers that they beat up and treated bad for previous slaves. Those that filled up the political world in suits and stuff. And I used to wonder about that. How did they get suits during slavery time? But they was able to do that. But not only that, they were somewhat running for some kind of office, some kind of seat. These things is Allah moving people forward. Man just can't move himself. Man can find out certain things, but he can't just move himself. So when we recognize that, it's something that should ring in our head that's clear to us, letting us see that God, Allah, has given us something that we can't get around. So we have to see ourselves picking up and looking at what we're to do today. Now, this was my topic before this happened, but I'm going to speak on something that took place today here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We had a beautiful day at the Eid today, no question. By now, all over the country, you've heard the news about the Eid and the shooting. How all of a sudden we, Muslims, have a problem in our day of worship? We've let our guard down. We've let others come in and persuade us to be like them and not realize we're losing our own young. It's not just that. It's more. All of us got to figure this out. So earlier it said two people were shot. One was a child, I think under five. And at first they said the child died. But I just heard something on the news before I came on the program that said the child didn't die. Now, I don't know if that was the first look at the news reporter had or whether that's something to correct the records itself. Then it says a man got shot in his stomach. Now, by the time we finish tonight or tomorrow morning at the latest, all that should be cleared, how many people actually got shot. There were families running out of the park. And this is sitting right across the street from what is known as Philadelphia Masjid, you know, that body of people that came from the Nation of Islam. We lost certain things. Yeah, in the Clara Muhammad School. There are certain things we've let get away from us. We wasn't big, bad bullies in the neighborhood, but we were respected. We were not bullies. If anyone would have liked to call us bullies, was the so-called tough guys in the street, the drug dealers, some of the pimps maybe, some of the speakeasies, some of the places that we were telling they can't do that in our neighborhood. They're ruining our people. But they're not the ones that's doing this today. These are young people. A couple of weeks ago, two guys, they got it on camera, who they are, but two guys had a shootout right outside the masjid. One of them rode up on a bike, from what I was told. I'm saying this because across the country, this should not happen. But you and I, we cannot let our guard down knowing how to protect our institution and protect our people. Things didn't happen. I remember when the police wanted to come in the temples back in the 60s. 69, 70, somewhere in that area. And Minister Jeremiah then, may Allah forgive him and have mercy on him. Minister Jeremiah finally told the police officer, we're going to let you in, but brother's going to be assigned to you so you don't just come in here and do what you want to do. And he told us, don't make them feel comfortable. In other words, don't do nothing to break the law. But let them know we're watching them because we don't want them leaving something, plant something. Somebody could say, well, the police ain't bad guys. There's some bad guys on the police force, just like there's some bad guys among the Muslims. We have to work to clean up certain things. Anyway, the cops, the police that came in was very uncomfortable because where they leaned, one of us was on their shoulder leaning with them. You know, back in the day, we were known for not blinking. So we'd stare at them. Then somewhere along in that time, there was two police officers that came to our temple, the main temple, headquarters. Back then at Germantown and Butler. And they urinated on the walls on the outside. Two police officers one evening. The sun had set. All we heard in the temple was, assalamu alaikum, in that way that made us know something was wrong. And every brother that was there broke down towards the door. By the time I got to the door, I seen a couple brothers running the police almost, there's a half a block away at least by the time I actually saw and was able to catch up. Those two police officers got beat up bad. They're running, calling for the police, calling for help, badges on and guns. Why would you stop at the temple and urinate on the wall? You and I, the Muslims, our voices are stronger than most religious people about things that you don't do around us, not just in our house of worship, but around us. We have to speak to that. No house of worship should anybody do anything to it. I've heard people say, like you can go against other religions as a Muslim. No, man, you ain't reading the Quran. Allah said clearly in the Quran that he is the one that gave the books. to Moses, to Jesus, to Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. He says in another place, go off as in a race to all that is good. Says in another place, speaking to the Muslims, nearest to you in faith is the Christians. He didn't tell us the don't respect the Jewish community, but nearest to you. And most of us, African-American descendants of slaves, our family members that are not Muslims are more likely Christian than anything other, if they're talking about believing in God. We know we got some African-American descendants of slaves who say they don't believe in God. They want to be atheists or something. You and I got to recognize and look at, why did Allah give us Islam? Allah needed us to worship. He don't need anything from us. But our worship sets a pattern. And that pattern rewards the believer. That's us and those who follow. Those who left it and we saw it and was attracted to it and became Muslims. Am I saying that you won't get none as a Christian? You won't get none as a Jew? No, I'm not saying that. Because Allah didn't say that. I would be lying on Allah to say that. Allah created the humanity. And he says clearly in the Quran, I made you different so you'll learn from one another. Our brothers who are Christians, they want to continue to say Jesus is the Son of God. God has no sons. We don't have to wrestle with that, but we should have dialogue with religious people like we used to have once upon a time, where the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims, I think, in my time anyway, we opened the door of interfaith more than anybody else. Not saying that it didn't exist by any community, Christians, Jewish, before the Muslims, but we, the Nation of Islam at that time, we opened the door. Why? We had plenty family members that was Christian. We knew the church reverend in most cases because we came from the church ourselves. And we could sit down and discuss that, yes, Jesus is a man of God, no question. He had a message from God, but he's not the Son of God. God don't make no man. In a manner like he allowed man to make himself or reproduce himself. If there was going to be an individual that would be the son of Allah, God, it would have to be Adam, because Adam was the only entity made from nothing. I mean, you know, something. But it wasn't no human flesh that brought Adam in. We know that with all kind of clarity. And every human being since his wife, Eve, or Hawa, has been birthed through two human beings. These are things that Allah make clear for us. And there's no battle room. Allah tells us don't run from things. Trust him. But there's no battling between the Muslims, not this body of Muslims, against the Christian, against the Jews. I'm getting to a point. If we're not told to battle with those of other faiths, how is it that our young brothers today find a way to come to a masjid and shoot at each other? A place that we search for guns and drugs, cigarettes, anything. Here in Philadelphia, 1969, when I came in, we were taught in our search methods, we find any paraphernalia that don't belong in the temple, that person got to take it outside the door, got to take it back to their car or wherever they want to take it to. And we would encourage them, take it and just come on back, hear the message. But we was clear to letting people know, or in letting people know, what is not allowed in our house of worship, which actually works on the mind to say, if it's not allowed in the house of worship, why am I doing it, period? Why would I go home and smoke if God is telling me, or the people that's representing God is telling me, we don't smoke? Or go home and drink. And Muslims, we got some Muslims that had those problems that can't quit smoking, can't quit drinking. some that was on drugs and can't get off drugs. We're not saying we're super powerful, strong, because we ourselves become Muslims. But as Muslims, we're to be the example. We are to be the example of what is the better conduct. So when we see things happening in our masjids across the country, you don't have to be in Philly to want to help Philly. I don't have to be in California to want to help California, New York, or whoever. We have to do that. And sometimes help is only how you're doing it becomes an example to the next one. Our picture that we have to give, just like we were giving them. We're not the, you know, this is not the same time, far from the same time that I spoke about earlier when I was a child, when most of our people couldn't read or write. And think about it, before that, you go some distance before I was born, we wasn't allowed to be caught reading. If we got caught reading, we might get punished, might get hung. And if a Caucasian, slave master, whatever, was caught teaching us to read, they got punished. So Allah has allowed through time for all of us to see how things change. And I'm saying that again, not so much just to reach into the back and see what we had or what we did, but to recognize how much distance we are away from that today. We're in the technology that couldn't even be thought of back then. Somebody's movement connected with what Allah wanted us to do, and we're doing better today. So the same thing is to happen today with us for those who are in the future of us or coming from the future and have not even been born yet. What are we leaving? We all of a sudden can watch things happen and we don't correct it? No, we got to, and I believe us, the Muslims, our method for correction is based in our unity, based in our love for Allah, no question, love for his messenger, love for the book that he left us, and grow. The book causes us to grow. And when I say the book, of course, everybody should know I'm talking about the Quran. The growth that comes from that. We have to see what work has to be done that's not done yet, that have to be left for those who come behind us. And I want to say before we take a PSA that anyone, as we come back on, you touch the one on your phone, we see it, we're going to bring you on to say what you need or like to say. Excuse me, alhamdulillah. Taking a PSA.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, The Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, The Bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, James Bashir, the Halal Industry Do For Self. Join us every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry Do For Self with your host, Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal Inc., and co-hosts James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interest of Bilal Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength establish community life by doing for self to build the model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us, tweet at CWSHURAA, email us at info@cwsc.us, visit am360.org, Parent Corporation Community-Wide Shore Conference at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297.
Thank you, Brother Jane.
You're welcome, Brother.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Once again, this is Iman Wali Ayu Bilal, the Halawa Industry Do For Self. So as I was saying, we can track how progress is made. Then there came a period of time. That first period I was speaking of that I witnessed was people couldn't read or write. Our adults, many of them, couldn't read or write. When voting started, when they started letting African Americans, descendants of slaves, vote, called us everything in the world that they wanted to call us and insult us, but when they let us vote, they said, boy, put your check down, put your scratch your mark in, or something to that effect. The person couldn't write their name, just check something. We don't have that today. Today, you can do mail-in voting. All of us should vote. All of us should be looking at our family and see if we got somebody ready to run for office. I hear too many African-American descendants of slave Muslims saying they're not that. They're not American. What are you? Allah put you in this continent, this country, gave you whatever English you got. Some of us got more than English because we went to school, we learned Spanish or, one or more other languages. But we are still Americans. Why we don't want to be the leader in it? Why wouldn't I want my son, my daughter to grow, to be the mayor of the city? Or in some role in the city that can help correct some things that others won't correct for us because they don't feel our need. Why shouldn't I look around to see if there's somebody that look like me who have studied, who has qualified, male or female, to be the governor, be a senator, be a congressperson? And why shouldn't I want to come together with the people around the country that look like me, along with others that want to see the strength in it, to make them the president or the vice president or one of the parties, the senators, the congressmen, et cetera, et cetera. We're in a time, went through a hard time as well, but we're in a time that every decision that need to be made in America to do certain things, we should be in it strong. We should not hear anybody from our people, among our people, saying they don't vote. They don't want to be involved. That's how you get treated bad. You see something coming down the street tearing up everything, you think it's going to bypass you? No, we have to recognize that what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was preparing us for. Up you mighty nation, accomplish what you will. He wasn't limited in us to just saying we're black Muslims. We're going to be black Muslims, et cetera, et cetera. That wasn't what it was about. What it was more about is preparing us to become leaders after being slaves. Not the day after. If it could have worked then, if Allah wanted it to happen then, it could have happened then. But over time, 400 years of slavery, nobody in the world from anything that I've read have ever suffered that. Today we have an opportunity. We have already influenced the religious world. first to Christianity, maybe in a time of Judaism, but definitely Islam. Done right will influence those worlds to live right, the things that we see where they're wrong. They haven't been in the slavery we've been into. And Allah has already laid out a plan. All we have to do is live it. There are many of us who have talent. And many may have the same. But we have talent. That talent should be working for us. Not refuting. Listen, I'm not giving anything as a suggestion that has a tail that's bitter, if you follow my meaning. I'm not saying do for self and hate everybody else. I'm saying Allah has given us the opportunity to lead the world, if by no other way, by example. He said, in Muhammad, not on him. In Muhammad is the best example for those who want to get the benefit of what Allah offers. It's said in different ways, but when you read it and think about it, what has Allah given us? Everything. He's given us every tool that we need to get on top. But if we don't see it, if we work against each other, or if we believe somebody else's ice is colder than ice is ice, water is water. But when you find people are living and they don't mind being unjust to another people or group of people, because they don't have certain powers, certain influences. We have to change that. And Allah has given us that opportunity. We got it in Christianity. We got it in Moorish Americans. We got it in different studies, sciences, etc. But the strongest influence we could have is the submission to the will of Allah, Islam. When we look at that, and see where we're going, we'll find a world that we can bring along with us to do the things that's needed. But we got to see it. We can't work against ourselves. We have to recognize, in other words, what good is Islam to us if it doesn't take us up? And we already know it takes us up. Those who have known the Nation of Islam, there's many that came after us who hated the Nation of Islam, literally, because they couldn't lead us. And they taught some of our young, that's not Islam. But it is Islam. Submission to the will of Allah is Islam. But not just in the term of the definition. What Allah gave us was an ability to make Islam worthy of the thought of the human beings that live in America. Many thought they should, and still do, that they should become Muslims. But we don't want any old kind of Muslim. We don't want people telling them that they could do anything they want to do. We want the Muslim that's progressive. Progressive in establishing Islam. Otherwise, it's like twiddling your thumbs just because you got some. We have to see the peace that Allah has put together for the humanity. Didn't start with Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. And it didn't end with him. But a major picture was given to Prophet Muhammad in this revelation of Quran. A major picture. Humanity have not anything better as far as its services to Allah, to the Creator himself. Those are the things we have to recognize. We have to know that Allah didn't just give us something that's just a book. Allah has given us what we need to actually move forward and be in the race towards all that is good. He didn't tell us to, you know, go out and race towards all that is good and left us empty-handed. He gave us everything we need. Not just the Quran, but the Quran is the lead nurturer for the humanity. There's no mistake in it about who's God. You know, if you start off putting ingredients in something. You may have something that come out well, but you still don't know what it is if you don't know what the ingredients was. The ingredient of Quran is submission to the will of Allah. That's the major ingredient. That means I can't be a thief even in my mind. I can't be a liar even in my mind. I can't want to be unjust even in my mind. Because though the man sitting next to me, the woman sitting next to me, or the crowd can't see what I'm thinking, Allah always see it. And he assigns angels to see certain things. Angels don't see everything. He assigns them to see certain things. So Allah has put each and every one of us in contact with him. With him to be honest, to be trustworthy, to be powerful. Might be a little something. I mean, when I say little something, your body size. But may be very powerful because you've actually trusted Allah to the point that you follow the guidance. That's what we have to do. And I believe, and I don't think I believe more than you or anybody else, I believe many of us believe this. What was given to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that we are still living with, if we, you know, the whole thing that we are living with, from the Nation of Islam, we didn't get nothing from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that we should be ashamed of. The main thing he gave us was the Quran. Like I said, I love telling my own story. When I went to Vietnam, I had never seen the Honorable Elijah Muhammad live. All I had was the picture or message to the black man, and I believe it was one on how to live. I took the Quran, the Bible, Message to the Black Man, How to Eat to Live in the Dictionary to Vietnam with me and studied. And the Quran showed me the picture, clear picture of what we're supposed to be following. And when I read the Quran, I didn't hear that, I didn't read a man as God. Everywhere it spoke about God, it spoke about, it said in English, Allah, or the God. It gave emphasis that is just one, pointed out clearly. So for someone to say that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said the man is God, no, he gave us symbols with Farad Muhammad, master. He don't call him God, Farad. He called him master. And during those days, master was teacher, still today in many places. But back then, master was a teacher. So he taught him. But he didn't create him. And how did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad dissolve that? He gave us lessons. When you come into the orientation class to become a Muslim. And the, one of the lessons says that Alfonso and Gigi, who were the father and mother of Farad Muhammad, they said they're going to make a boy child. And when the child came forth, it was a girl, and they said, father particularly, oops, we missed that time. The next one was the boy. But in making that boy became a student. But God don't have a father and mother, especially I couldn't imagine one called Alfonso and Gigi. I mean, I found that kind of, you know, I mean, when I read that, I said, man, Alfonso. I got a cousin named Alfonso. Gigi, I thought about a cousin, younger cousin that I had that I hadn't seen much, but she was a young child. And those just didn't fit. And then there's the other Gigi that you heard about way back then in the club. It just didn't fit that this could be God. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us a picture with a book that tells us everything, the Quran. Today, some of this, now I'm getting to a point with this. Some of this thing that we see between the Muslims that came through the nation and the Muslims who are taught from abroad, they show a dislike. They show the dislike because they were taught that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't have anything. Well, we got to know the history. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, before he got the revelation, he had nothing. He wasn't educated. Abu Sufyan is reported as saying, and others, but Abu Sufyan sticks in my head. He said when he spoke of the prophet prayers and peace be upon him, where did he get this stuff from? We know he's not educated. Where did he get it? We can't say he didn't get this because we didn't give this to him. And he began to soften in his heart to recognize it had to be the Creator that gave it to him because he studied nowhere. I'm talking about the prophet prayers and peace be upon him. When we look at the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, what did he have? He's born in 1897. He got a third-grade education at that time. And even with the third-grade education, what is a third-grade education today, 2024? Nothing. You got a third-grade education today in 2024, you got nothing. And along with having nothing, how would you lead anybody? In this day, with all the technology, you don't know anything. But back then, 1897, when you're still dealing with people who didn't want us to read, didn't want us to write, so and disliked this descendant of the slave. I mean, he was a descendant of the slave also. So we have to see that we shouldn't be, number one, searching outside of the Quran for all of the facts, all of the proofs. If we want to see the time of ourselves, look at the proofs in the Quran. Because Allah is saying that he's developing new minds all the time, new spirits all the time, new successes all the time. Today, we're the success story. But somehow we're letting somebody drop the load on us that even some of the imams have backed off and don't want to express themselves as one coming from the nation, coming from Imam W.D. Muhammad. Allah blessed us with those two men. He blessed us in a way that we found the Quran. And found is not the right way, but my expression is we wound up with it. And we got brothers and sisters, they go over to the Eastern study. Many came from our community. The difference is your teacher. Somebody could teach you and give you something because they're getting paid or they feel a reward, but ain't really giving it to you. You got it, but you become their servant. Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't make us his servant. He showed love. And in that love that he showed, we was able to come alive as a people. And we have to believe that. When we come alive as a people, we'll recognize the work still is not done yet. And there's no shortcuts to the work being done. We have to see that. We have to look at that. We have to believe that. That just like every people that stood up, whether it was standing up in religion, standing up to establish industry, studying to be leadership in the country, whatever it was, every people had to stand up. We've got to stand up. We don't want just black leadership just to have black leadership. We want leadership that comes from our people that we're proud of. Do you know what it would be like if the African-American descendants of slaves with the right minds got in office and be themselves? We'll show the Caucasians there was no room for, no need, not just no room, but no need for the racist feelings to keep us out. That's why, that's part of the reason why some of them don't want the history told. They don't want to be seen as the bad guys. You wasn't. It was your forefathers. But you lived it anyway, and they live it today.
They benefited from it.
They got everything through that life of putting somebody else down. Islam don't allow us to put nobody down. Islam tells us or suggests to us to have the best character. Why? Others will learn from your character. And if they wouldn't learn from your character, why would Allah say to us, in Muhammad is the best example? You're learning from his, we, not just you, we. learning from the character. He didn't say us on Muhammad, in other words, look like he dressed, because the people, even with the thobes today, the prophet didn't wear thobes. Just talk Arabic? No. Allah tells us, if any sensible Arab person, or those of us who speak Arabic, if we read that ayat right, Imam Muhammad said it one time, he said he knew it would cause a revolt or explosion or something among the people that he was suggesting, that if we knew or looked at it properly, we would teach out always in English. I said here in Philadelphia, when I go to some messages, some of the imams get up, and it's like they doing back in the day, Temptation, Smokey Robinson, Gladys Knight, and all of them, when they're doing the battle of the groups. No, Allah says in the Quran, clear, teach the people in their language so they won't say they didn't understand. Make it clear. I pray. I'm clear today. As I talk anytime, I pray to give enough examples to be clear on what I'm trying to get across. I tell somebody to go to the hospital and give them the wrong directions or directions they don't know. It's in their language, but if they don't know what I'm talking about, they can't even say to reach me that I need, it could be something as small as the bathroom. Where your bathroom at? Well, go out the front door and run down the block on the corner, take a left and run up the street. Something wrong with that. But it's just as bad if they stay right there and don't understand and waste on themselves. But we're talking about the Quran. Allah says to the people, teach them in their language. So we got a house full of people, and they all know how to say the Al-Fatiha, and maybe two or three more small surah to complete a prayer. But they don't know the common sense conversation in Arabic. So the Arab is even supposed to stop and get a translator if he can't speak English or Spanish or Chinese. Because you're qualified in the Quran don't mean you're on the top. No, excuse me, I said that wrong. Because you're qualified in Arabic don't mean you're on the top. But what we need is the Quran. And the Quran is in every language. And it may be clearer to the world from English than it is speaking from the Arabic. Because everybody don't speak Arabic. Somewhere along the line, even many people refused Arabic because they didn't want to be beneath or around the Arabs, as they do with other languages. But they didn't want it. They didn't realize the gift of the Quran. But Allah has made it, so there's no excuse. Every language, there's a Quran in every language today. Why? Because we got publishers. Allah created publishers that he can have the book copied over and over in every language and have readers of the language read it to see in the translation, am I saying the same that one is reading in his language, that's English or Arabic or Spanish or Chinese or whatever. So you and I, we have to see that we're in a time that we understand the work is not done yet for us. America has not become the Islamic country. We've got a nice hold on it. The world know that America got Muslims. Even though there are Muslims coming here, trying to move us out. They don't mind going into the governor's seat if they could. But you and I should be the one that's preparing to do that to help lead America, not just into Islam. Islam brings us to the righteousness of success. But the country need developing. The country also need to learn how not to be so racist. Attack another person because they don't have, it's like a man walking down the street, he ain't got but one leg and you attacking him because he only got one leg. He can't run from you and he can't fight you. That's how they treated us. But that was by Allah's permission. They didn't just make us slaves. Allah had that as a design to erase what we knew, make us a new people. And from that new people from an empty mind will be able to one day have the Quran and read it again and live it when the Prophet Muhammad prayers and peace be upon him. Picture it like this, walking down the street, a group of you and your companions. And Bilal was one of them. And all the others were the Arabs around the Prophet. And the Prophet said, "Hey, Bilal, this is how I read it, 1973 when I first read it. Never forget it. I used it so much in where I was at when I was studying. I was in the prison, so you'll know. But I read it and used it so much to show that we have a life ahead of us to follow. Not saying don't follow the Prophet, but God, Allah, has given us a picture and a man that looked like us. Your companions would holler out every now and then, "Hey, old black Bilal, laugh." And the Prophet would say to them, "All of us are black." But on this particular day that I was getting ready to speak on, it was like they was walking or moving about in a circle and maybe walking. And he said, "Hey, Bilal, just imagine yourself walking with your friend, and one of them is Bilal, and you holler out, he's a few steps in front of you and a few others. Hey, Bilal, how you get out front?" So the companions, they looked at that he's getting ready to get chopped. Yeah, they go Bilal trying to walk out front. They going to chop him up. So the Prophet finished the statement. He said, I saw all of us going into paradise, and your footsteps was in front of us. That says a lot. Those of us that understand to be on the bottom and come up with the character that Allah wants us to have as a human, we become the mercy to humanity. Because it shames them. Allah know how they feel. It shames them to know that they put themselves forward because of their skin color. When Allah made us the skin color, every one of us, every human being. So we, this success that we're to have is here in America first. For us. And that success starts with us living and submitting our will to Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Getting rid of the biases that could easily come in us. We're human. But those biases don't belong in humans. Because Allah calls us forth as his servant. And his servant don't have a bias. You know, it's like the hotel that has waiters. And everybody that come in, some of them help them with the baggage and some serve them at the table. You're supposed to treat everyone in the proper manner. Our character is supposed to treat others in the proper manner. They see strong people in us. We damage it, but they see strong people in us. We have a pattern that we have to leave for those coming behind us, all of us. We don't know when we leaving here. It could be in a few minutes, few seconds. To be another 10, 15, 20, 30 years, depending on our age, 50 years, 60 years. As I said, I've been asking Allah since I've been 10 to live to be 150. And I'm better than halfway there, thank Allah. If I don't say another word after this one, I am very grateful that Allah has given me the time that he's given me. But I'm asking him for 150. Now, I could ask you, but you can't give me. I'm looking at Nate. He can't give me nothing. He can give me a sandwich or something. But no, seriously speaking, I'm asking Allah always in my prayer. And I pray and ask Allah to let all of us, people I don't even know, people that don't hear my voice nowhere, let us all live to see this Islam work for us as a people to be an example even to them. Because see, nobody's going to want to be the bad guy, the ugly guy, if Allah allow us to live and find the success through living Islam properly. Nobody's going to do that. They're going to want to be in front of us. But Allah has put us out front. Allah has called us to the worship. The Prophet told Bilal, prayers and peace be upon him, that you should be the leader. He was sick.
Mm-hmm.
You should be the leader. And Bilal said, "They won't follow me." Now, where Bilal was wise enough to know that even though these are your companions, Rasulullah, these are submitters as they say, to Allah's will. But even if Allah's will was I to be the leader, they wouldn't follow me. That's what he was saying. They don't have to follow. They don't have to follow. We have to work to make paradise for ourselves here and beyond here. So it's on us to actually appreciate the history that Allah has given us. The Nation of Islam was nothing to be thrown away. If we see what was built up, if we just look at every city and see what was built up. When I say look in, don't go look at every city. You don't have time to do that, maybe. But wherever you at, if you had a Nation of Islam and it was established, as we were here in Philly and other places, you find that Allah gave us a blessing as an example to our people and to other people. In Philadelphia, the police backed off. When they seen us, they backed off. They knew. They told people, if the Muslims did something to you, spanked you, in other words, you had to do something because they don't bother you unless you bother. This was after we chased that police officer and the two brothers that caught him put such a whooping on him. So we were urinating on our temple wall back then. We didn't commit trouble. You had to do something to us. And we didn't care whether you was the police or who you were. Don't wrong us. We ain't wronging you. But you ain't going to step all over us and everything. But that example should be in every human being. And the only way it is because people see that's how we should live. So once again, I'm going to take a PSA at this time. And we'll be back shortly.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't know that, but I was coming out.
Assalamu alaikum. James Bashir of the Lal Industry, do for self. Join us every Wednesday from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry, Do For Self, with your host, Imam Wale Ayu Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal's Inc., and co-hosts James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interest of Bilal's Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength to establish community life by doing for self to build the model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891. Or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us. Tweet at CWSHURAA. Email us at info@cwsc.us. Visit am360.org, PAN Corporation, Community-Wide Shore Conference at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297.
Brother James, Nate Muhammad, the Halal Industry, Do For Self. It moved back to everyone. And I just want to share all day, as far as preparing work, having our Eid today.
And I'm sure Imam Bilal had mentioned some of the things that happened over there about, what, 5, 6 o'clock. I just want to just go over how the day started, prepping for the Eid. We arrived at the masjid for Fajr. After Fajr, we start setting up. Come 8:30, the takbir started. 9:15, the prayer. The khatib finishes the lecture about 10:30, and we let out, celebrating for the Eid with the people. Now, by 12 o'clock, 12:30, we notice a large crowd of the young folks starting to gather. I mean, large crowd. I'm talking about just, I mean, it's almost like a wave of young folks. It was so thick of them that we lost all kind of count for them. Now, listen to me now. We had security there. We had help from the police force. We had 2 squad cars there. And they had armed security there. Wasn't no match for the youngsters of that many. About 2:30, it's almost like they either let out of school or they didn't go to school, but it was like a social meeting gathering because they came out of everywhere. And out of nowhere, what we have here in Philadelphia is we have young Muslims as a gang. They deal with the gangs, North Philly, South Philly, West Philly, Southwest Philly, and they fighting each other. That's what gangs do. But the thing they did, they brought it to the ear. And out of nowhere, you had shots goes off. And, of course, a large gathering of people there, it was a panic, chaos everywhere. A couple people have got shot. I'm not confirmed. I haven't confirmed it that a young sister was shot in the head or was a brother shot in the stomach. I know them two. But nevertheless, I'm saying this because I can put it out and keep it in front of me. But nothing happened without Allah's permission. And if he showed us this or if he let this happen, I believe that he's trying to show us what we're up against and what we have to do. Now, the police came in. Of course, they had it on video or cameras. It was cameras. They went through the whole thing. But right now, they still out on the police investigation. They got everything roped off. I'll probably go back over there after this program. But I'm saying that us, these are Muslims, that this is a sign that the Muslims all over Philadelphia are going to have to come together as one. Lead with what Allah wants to rectify this society or this situation. We already seen the police not putting everything on them, but it's too big for them. Too big for them. Plus, they feel as though that whatever they do is scrutinized, and they can't put too much force on it, the youth or whatnot. But these are our kids, our members of the community, kids, grandkids, nephews, nieces, and nephews, if I could say that. But this is what we have to do today. We have to. As we've been saying all along, we have to unite. We can sit up here and talk till we turn blue in the face. But if we're going to get something accomplished, we have to unite. And we've been in this situation before. This is not the first time we had something like that happen around the masjid. But I believe this is a sign that it's time to unite. Not sit there and talk about it. We have to do it. Everybody have to, as Imam Muhammad said, that we have to lead with what Allah said and do things with sure, do sure. That's what we have to do today. I just wanted to get that off my chest right now. Mm-hmm. And we'll keep you posted on the progress that we make, because I guarantee we will be making some progress towards that, you know, with Allah's will or with Allah's help. Mm-hmm. All right, buddy, man. I'd like to turn that mic back over to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like we have a caller.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Nate, Brother Jane. Assalamu alaikum. Yes. Yeah. We have two callers. We're going to go to the first one, 646-245. Your mic is on. You can begin speaking.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Eid Mubarak. This is Farida. Eid Mubarak. Yeah. So I think that we have to be very careful about being deceived, because we do need some freedom even to do things for ourselves. And what could in so many years that no one has been able to tell me, what point of reference does again mean in MAGA? I was not able to ever get a clear understanding of what again means. So, and then let's look at the works. Okay. Now, anybody who wants to discontinue affirmative action because of the thinking that it holds back whites is one of the most prejudices that can be, because what it suggests is that no black person is capable of being eligible, as though the ones who are chosen cannot be eligible to be in that position, to go to the college that they want to go to, that you're going to turn around and say that it holds back some white people who want to get in there. And that is one of the most prejudiced moves that he's put judges in to make an again happen. So what we need to think of is, what does he mean by again? Make America great again. Answer that question. What point of reference in history do we have for that, black people, when we are at the present time, we are actually living the best life that we have so far, which there's a lot more way to go, much longer way to go, and we have to be careful, and we have to be careful of people who say, look, you want reparations? That wasn't me. That was my forefathers. But the thing about it is that in a lot of cases, the apple did not fall far from the tree, as they have been teaching their children and their children and their children how to misbehave with us. So that's all I wanted to say. And
yes,
also, one more thing. Trump ran on him telling the truth. It was not him who told the truth. It was President Kennedy who told the truth, who let us know that there was us know yes. that they had plans in making the masses slaves. It was President Kennedy who did that. Now, it took us years to figure out what he was talking about. And especially things came together after 9/11, you know. But we were already we were already waking. Our eyes was already wakening. We were, a lot of us was already woken. And then one comes along and says, I'm telling you the truth. We have to be very careful of conning. We have to be very careful. We have to keep our eyes open. Okay, that's all I want to say. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. So if you don't mind, touch the one on your phone. And that way, if you want to come back, we'll know that you came back again, and we'll get you. There was someone that just hung up. I was going to get you in a moment, but I wanted to respond to the statement was made. So when we look at the message that when he says clearly, you know, we heard it before, son, I'm going to tear your butt up again. I mean, you had it before. So in that, he's taking us back to slavery. That's what he's talking to. He's talking to the Caucasian particularly, or anyone that would like to keep us as a people in the background. He won over. I mean, who would think about getting together to attack the White House? Had that been a black group, it would be the Red House after the night was over, because they just shot everybody up right on the steps. You know what I mean?
Outnumbered
or not, they would have killed everything right there on the steps. But because it was Caucasians, they didn't want an actual Caucasian fight against Caucasian, against the White House just like that. So people didn't get shot. You know what I mean? But it was really warranted. The way that they were doing certain things, if you couldn't grab them up and lock them up, you need to put a cap in them, as the street would say. So he mean, again, just what he's saying. He talking to white folks. And in him talking to white folks, he's hoping that the bell will ring for them, that we don't want people of color, particularly us, but people of color in general, to be in the leadership, to have any way of succeeding. And we have to know, people of faith, particularly us as Muslims, but people of faith have to know, we are not successful because some man said, we're successful because Allah guarantees it to the human being that does what he's supposed to do. The human being is supposed to work together. I'm supposed to work. Before my brother Nate and brother James talk to me in the daytime, once getting up out of bed, I'm supposed to first speak with my family. They supposed to speak with their family. That don't mean we got to call the whole family. But you have to take care of yours first. When it comes to building in the community, I don't expect, and I'm 76 years old, and I've seen it, where the Caucasian, not every one of them, I'm not blaming all of them, but I understand the language, the human language, that they're going to take care of themselves. Is it any good Caucasian that will lean over and help some of us? Yes, plenty of them. Our problem is, as a people, we'll bleed quicker, not every one of us, but too many of us. And too many could be just one-fourth, one-tenth is too many of ours, because they affect the rest. But we believe that if somebody else is not in it, when I say somebody else, I'm speaking of other nationalities, are not involved, then we're not going to be successful. Allah guarantees success to every people, every person that obeys him. Can you hurt yourself in life? Yes, Allah didn't say you won't hurt yourself or you won't learn certain things in life. But the key, number one key, is work together. I want to build a business. My father, I watched him and my older brother build business life in front of me. So I've always wanted to do that, and I've always wanted to help somebody. But the only way I can do it, I got to build it with the people who think just like that. And build it for the people that we're talking about. Can Caucasians benefit from us? Yes. Other nationalities? Yes. But why not benefit first ourselves on the things that we're doing? Not sit around and, like some people,
complain we ain't got nothing. But let's start walking together and find out why we don't. We don't have stores in our neighborhood, so they call us food deserts. They're talking about supermarkets mainly. But food deserts. So, yes, Bilal's Inc., the halal industry. And I do believe other people out there have money will do it once they see somebody do it. Our goal is to say, okay, let's come together. Let's build the halal industry. And let's look for people who have the talent to run supermarkets, to run restaurants, to run radio stations, everything that exists, TV studios. Like I was very happy when the brother got that studio down in the South. What's his name? Perry, Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry don't think like we think necessarily. I mean, I don't know him close up. I'm not judging him, prejudging him. But we as Muslims, we have a community on a community or in a community. We're not just, I'm not just wanting to build something for me or just my family or just my friend. I've been a part of the nation. I've been a part of following Imam Muhammad. And our body needs something that can help our people. That body, that whole body of people. Given the right picture will help our people, but it would help humanity in general. Because see, we don't have to ask once we build, will somebody help us? All the things that give us some, but it really slows us down. If we study it, look around, we're the only people in America that builds everybody's industry, and I don't mean brick and mortar. We do that too if they allow us to work. But I'm talking about our funds go to more people outside of our own than they do for ourselves. Very, very seldom we find a place that we can support every day that's African-American descendant of slaves. So we have to build that. We have to build factories across the country. And we can expect somebody trying to stop us. In Philadelphia, they've held us up 19 years. And we haven't asked everybody for money. Yes, you came back. We haven't asked everybody for money or this or that or that. That's not what we need. Right now, we need to whip the butt of the people who are working in the municipal building for the city who kind of trash us and trash our communities and allow developers to take over. Squeeze us as a people. But how do you stop getting squeezed? You build your muscles up. How you build your muscles up? We work together. We take the best minds that we got in government to say, okay, look, how do we get around this? Not ducking it, it's a problem. They're holding us up. Developers come in and buy us out, and people don't realize, yeah, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000. Sounds great. Until you try to get in another place. And you find that the developers in the area of Philadelphia over the last few years have had complaints that the development of these new properties, they look nice when they go in. But once they're in, they got leaks, they got damages to areas that just touching, and a little more than touch, I'm sure, just touching them, though. So we run in when somebody else builds them rather than building our own. Yes, we can easily shut down all those problems, but we got to work together. And I'm not saying, Lord, let's just pull money out of our pocket and just build on one thing. I don't think that's the way. But once we build, once we establish, we want to build, Bilal's Inc. particularly, we want to split our profits to build around this country. And you might say, well, how are you going to do that? How do everybody else do it? How do these people that got billions of dollars, how do they do it? How did they get there? They used our money, their own brother's money, other people's money, by building something that people use that pays into them. We don't do that as a majority. And where we got it at, most of us don't know about it. So we want the Muslim community to be a picture, as it has been in certain areas, be a picture of how to work to pull us into industry, ownership of everything that we got, and that we could sell to the world. Not just sell to ourselves, sell to the world. Top quality things. And not always needing a handout. So I'm gonna bring on 636980 right now, and I believe that was the second hand that went off and came back on. And I'll get you come back to you shortly after that. But 636980, your mic is on.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. This is Kareem Hamid calling in from St. Louis, Missouri.
Yes, sir.
And
I
want to wish everyone, the entire international Ummah, Eid Mubarak. Praise be to Allah.
Eid Mubarak to you, my brother. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Wonderful. If I may, I want to share a statement from the conveners of Imams on the Gaza and Palestine situation.
Yes, go ahead, my brother.
Okay, I really received this in my email. It's from Master Bilal of Cleveland, conveners of Imams. Statement of the conveners of Imams, resident Imams and community leaders associated with the community of Imam Waris Uddin Muhammad. A quote from the Quran, and it is he who produced you from a single soul. So there is a place of dwelling and a repository. We detail our signs for people who understand. Another quote from the Quran, that was from the 60th Surah, 58th Ayat.
Mm-hmm.
The next quote from the Quran is from Surah 5, Ayat 8, I believe. O you who believe, stand out firmly for Allah as witnesses to fair dealing, and let not the hatred of others prevent you from being just. Be just. That is nearer to piety and reverence and respect Allah. I'm moving. Okay. For Allah is acquainted with all that you do. Then there is a quote there's another Quranic quote. In our human creation, this is from Imam Waris Uddin Muhammad. In our human creation, we are all equal. And that human creation is the foundation for all other identities. Quote from Imam Waris Uddin Muhammad, Youth Dawah class in Chicago, September 22nd, 2002. The statement reads from the conveners of Imams. As Muslim Americans of African descent, we are compelled to add our voices to those many international, national, community, and faith leaders who have articulated their demands for an immediate ceasefire, an end to the current war, and human suffering in Gaza. This demand reflects the reality of tens of thousands of Palestinian deaths and injuries, a majority of whom are innocent women and children. The human devastation includes over 1.5 million people permanently displaced, a systematic demolition of the human infrastructure, including reduction in essential food and medical supplies to the point of mass suffering from famine and disease, and the wholesale destruction of homes, hospitals, and places of worship. This war has also seen the unprecedented deaths of over 1,000 healthcare workers and journalists. We also condemn the violence, deaths, and hostage-taking of innocent Israelis as a result of the October 7, 2023 attacks from Hamas. In conjunction with our call to end the war in Gaza, we call for the immediate return of all hostages.
I mean,
unfortunately, Unfortunately, this recent series of tragic events is predicated on a century of injustice perpetrated on the Palestinian people and documented in almost 200 United Nations resolutions since 1947. These resolutions have documented flagrant violations of international law and called for a fair and equitable two-state solution. The United Nations has repeatedly mandated an immediate halt to illegal Israeli settlement activities in Palestinian land. To date, over 1 million illegal settlers have been encouraged by the State of Israel to confiscate additional Palestinian land in the West Bank. A cessation of land confiscation and homes of Palestinians, and an end to the arbitrary arrest, imprisonment, and murders of Palestinian people. These longstanding injustices have resulted in the indigenous Palestinian population losing rights to their homes, land, and lives for over 100 years. They have been forced into segregation, subjugation, and military occupation in isolated enclaves on a fraction of their original homeland. The indigenous Palestinian population has also been deprived of basic human rights. Hold on, please, as I move down. Okay, wait a minute. The Palestinian population has also been deprived of the basic human rights of freedom and self-determination, with numerous accounts of vigilante murders of innocent Palestinians by the growing number of illegal Israeli settlers. While there has been marginal progress over the last few decades to address these longstanding injustices, many political leaders, including our own, have allowed extremist elements in Israel to perpetrate these systemic crimes against humanity. Our government has also been complicit in virtue of unconditional support for Israel, despite their flagrant and persistent violations of international law. These continuing and intolerable crimes against the Palestinian people must stop. The people of Palestine must be given the universal rights of self-determination, freedom, justice, and equality, which they have been too long denied. Palestinians who have been expelled from their lands as a result of illegal and unjust confiscation should be allowed to return and be given just compensation. Illegal Israeli settlers on Palestinian land must be expelled per international law. Is equitable distribution of land and natural resources should occur based upon the body or bodies of the land must recognize the universal criteria for freedom, self-determination, justice, and equity based upon our common human humanity. In our country, we have also seen the harassment, retaliation, and punishment of Muslims, Palestinians, Arabs, journalists, and college students who have publicly addressed or protested these injustices. We support their constitutional right to freely speak their opinions or peacefully protest without fear of losing their jobs, slander, and personal retaliation by those who feel threatened by the truth. I wanted to read the response from the conveners of Imams and Association with Imam Waterfuddin Muhammad, that this is a press release, and I received mine through the email. I'm quite sure other people have received theirs too. And at the end of this letter, there's an icon that you click on, and that signs your name. this is going on a petition. So I felt it important that those of us that are in the Association of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad should be aware of what has been stated concerning our position. I'll stop right there, my brother, and thank you for allowing me this much time. I'm grateful to you.
Yes. Yes, sir. Thank you, my brother. Eid Mubarak. Thank you very much. And I'm sure the people appreciate it, knowing that the Muslims, the African-American descendants of slaves, the followers and students of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, and those many of us came through the Nation of Islam following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and that we are ourselves involved with what, you know, correcting things. You know what I mean? We can't sit quietly by. We have to sit. And as you received that letter, I received it and signed it. I believe it's the same exact letter. And that's what we need to do. Yes, sir. That's what we need to do.
Yes, you know, a lot of times we speak on local issues, you know. But as Muslims, caliphs, our concern is the whole of humanity. And every little chance I get on the broadcast that I have, I'll drop some international news because we are responsible for everything from the block that I live on to this whole earth.
Yes.
We are the maintainer.
I mean.
So I'll stop right there, my brother, and thank you for allowing me this much time. Assalamu alaikum. May God continue to bless you. And
this
and
is all I'm
Brother James Bashir and Nate, the greetings for me of Eid Mubarak. Praise be to Allah.
Yes. They hear you right here and they're sending it back. Yes. Thank you, my brother. So I'm going to actually touch the one. So therefore, if you want to come back on, I'll notice it and be able to bring you back on if you'll touch your one on your phone. I'm trying to pull you out. There you go. And before I make comments, I'm going to bring in, I see 646-245. Your mic is open. You had something to say.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. This is Farida again. I just wanted to say, first of all, I want to say two things. But first of all, I wanted to mention, you mentioned Tyler Perry, who in my view is the wrong one to put. He does absolutely understand how we think. He was homeless before. I mean, you have to see Maxine's Baby on prime time gives you his whole life. He does a lot for us, but he's not as vocal about it. And he really is. I mean, he is a wonderful person. He's always encouraging us to keep on going. Do not stop. He is very encouraging person. And also I want to say I was in conversation with some Jewish people about the Gaza problem, and they insist that God gave them the land. I said, well, when did England become your God? Because England had two more countries as well as in Israel to place the Jews.
That's right.
So I mentioned to them that they once again need to follow the laws of Moses. And I said, I give you Moses once again. And I ran down the Ten Commandments to them as to how they are supposed to treat other human beings.
That's right.
And so you know, there was another point with it that I wanted to make that I forgot. But but that was the basis of our conversation. And oh, I know what I wanted to say, because I explained to them, as my Jewish friends had told me, that they lived in peace for many years. So I said, so the only time that y'all started fighting again was when more land was sought. So I said,
that's right.
But you have land. I said, how can you sit up there and tell me at the end of the day that God gave you this land when you already have land? You could call it whatever you want. Give it a different name. Call it whatever you want, but you do have land. The only time that the fighting starts again is when y'all want more. That's called greed.
That's right.
And it's when you want more. I said, you've not only thrown people out of their homes that they've lived in for thousands of years and their families, but what you've done was caused them to live in apartheid conditions. Why?
That's right.
Why was that necessary? If you say that God said this land is yours, okay, so you got it. You're in there. What more you want? Now you want more? You want to put them out? You want to kill them all? So I said, no, follow the commandments. Because how many times has Moses himself, how many times have, as soon as they got fine again, then they rebelled again? How many times?
That's right.
I said,
right.
I give you once again, Moses, learn how to treat other people. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, Engelson, thank you very much, and that's a very good point. And that's what we have to see. When it says the final book, the Quran, that's the example humanity needs. We don't, the Muslims can't deny the Christians, can't deny the Jews, can't deny humanity. We have the book that tells us that Allah will not allow us to do that. But we can also recognize when someone is using what the world may once upon a time thought of them. In other words, the Jews, they write, and then, no, you're moving like devils now. You're gonna kill innocent people. You know you're blowing up buildings and seeing children, women, old people being killed over what? And the first thing that should have happened, when that Gaza, whoever they were, and I believe, because like I said, I was in the war, and I know that sometimes you have people and act like they're on one side, but they're setting them up. I believe there were people from the Jewish community who enticed some people maybe from over in Gaza to come back. Because first of all, if you don't live in the area, how do you know where all of their guns at? How do you know where their guards is at? How you know how to get through their protection for war? But they got over there and did the killing. They got pictures of everybody that did the killing, just about. Those pictures should have been circulated, and we're probably going to find out some of them are Jewish. Setting up because the land is what they want. The oil underneath the earth is what they want. And they don't mind killing for it. And I'm not saying that's just Jews. That could be a Muslim. That could be a Christian. When it's wrong, it's wrong. They don't fear Allah enough. They don't fear God, if you want to say God. What we have to do, though, is be the example of what the Quran calls for. Allah didn't tell us he gave them the final book. He tells humanity the Quran is the book that's final for the humanity. If Allah want to give us another book, he'll give us another one. But right now, the Quran is the final. And anybody that opened their eyes would clearly see the Jewish community that accepts that. And I'm not over there, so I don't know which one is what, who's faking or whatever. But those who accept just killing people, innocent people, demolishing blocks upon blocks, homes, they show the picture every now and then. The youngsters walking through the the bricks in the construction area, it seems, that they've walked into. And here there's a place that was blown up by people who are chasing a handful of people. It was only a handful of people that did that. They could easily have gotten them without blowing up anybody. But I do believe that was the plot, the plan, to get more land, and they didn't mind sacrificing these people and killing them, the men, the women, the children, the innocent. Majority of the ones that they're killing is innocent. You want the people who actually, if somebody came and robbed you, you want the ones that robbed you. You ain't got to go get their families. Their family's not necessarily in agreement with that. And you definitely don't have to get the people that they came from. So, you know, it's wool that they're trying to pull over the people's eyes. But Allah has that. Allah will take care of that. We have to be voiceful. We have to be those who speak out when we see injustice, as our brother Imam said, across the world. We're not. I know. I feel and hear the people that's talking. I know me, and I believe you feel like I feel. I ain't biased against nobody. When I called the white man the devil, I didn't see him as a person I should hate. I went on the insight of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He wasn't just calling the man a devil because he was white. But think about this here. I've seen albinos that come from two dark-skinned, black, super black, that's whiter than any white person can be. So he wasn't talking about the skin, but he was talking about how they live and treat people. Not just blacks, but people in general. When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, if you wasn't around talking about people of color, skin color, regardless of what race, they'd do the same thing to themselves. They'd harm each other. So right now we see this ugly thing happening, and I hear brothers and sisters say they'll vote for Trump if Biden don't do something. That's crazy as heck. You're going to take I don't understand Caucasians taking on a liar that they know is a liar and saying they want to lead, rapist, all that. Your children should grow to follow that. And I know all Caucasians don't think like that, but it's too many. But the African-American stand up and say, well, Biden ain't doing nothing for me. Did he been to your house? He don't even know you personally. What he going to, I could do something for you if I know you. But why should the president be judged upon what he do for me? No, we want the best person in there. And what we should be doing, African-American descendants of slaves, Muslims or otherwise, we should be finding the best from among us, our youth, and taking them and educating them to the point that one day you look up, it'll be years of leadership in different positions that are African-American. It can happen. You know what I mean? In other words, but we need to know that we can be there. It can happen. It's not something that we should be afraid of. I hear Muslims saying they ain't Americans. I said that earlier. They ain't American. What are you then? Allah put you here. You don't know nowhere else. And even if you know somewhere else, we as a people, we're Americans. He put us on this part of the earth. We should lead on this part of the earth. We should find success on this part of the earth. We should be able to, as Imam said again, be able to affect ourselves and everybody around the world in a good way. And we can't do it if we act like we can't take a position. Oh, no, I don't belong over there. Where you belong? Everybody get in the line that they belong in. I'm a descendant of the slaves. Those slaves were supposed to be brought here from Africa. Well, we had blacks here in America before the slavery. Okay. Yeah, that you want to walk with that. No, I don't want to walk with that. I want to walk with what I know that hurt us and put us here. Because that's where our history lies. And look at the difference today. Just if we come together and work, we can make the world look better. We can make it look much better. So even for the believers, we should all know that the imams, the information that Imam Kareem read off, there's information. I don't think it comes out enough, but when it comes, I'm very pleased about it because a statement has to come from this body, this group, that came through the nation first and then followers of Imam Muhammad. And we even got some among us that might say they with Imam Muhammad, but they wasn't with the nation. Well, nowhere it started. Nowhere Allah started something. Don't try to get rid of it. You know what I mean? So I see 645-245. See your hand up. I'm going to touch the mic. And you can the mic is on for you. 646-245. Your hand is up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that I came out of it. But I do want to say,
go ahead.
That Canaan was the place that was supposed to be the promised land. So,
yeah, how about
you
that?
Know?
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
That
yes.
was where Moses led them.
That's right. That's right. And it's sad when people can get away with such ugliness, but that's Allah telling us even more. Trust me, and I'll put you out front. And not just to put you out front, as an example. But it don't matter for me. It don't matter if we ain't the top of everything, but we should be living well, protecting and making sure we're a help to humanity in general. And that's where I think that, you know, I have to think that way from Bilal's Inc., the halal industry, because that's what we want to build from. But everything we need, and the information you mentioned about Tyler Perry, I don't know him personally, but I was very pleased when he got that studio down there. And it was just a proof what we can do. We can create what should be on the air. We can produce from any industry. We just have to come together. And again, like I said, I don't always take everybody's money. But if you got talent, what do you do that we can fund to make sure? If it's schools, where the teachers at? Let's get them where we got homes for them to live in. We got payroll for them to have. We got shopping there. They got benefits. And they're right around our school. That's where we want. Some teachers might not want to live that close. They'll live outside, but come and teach daily, every day, every week. All of these things we have to look at. People who can make cars. One day we're going to open up a factory, make our own cars. You know what I mean? There's nothing we can't do. It's just all we got to do is come together and do it. And again, it's not our rumble in Philadelphia is one thing. Downtown, and I'm talking about City Hall, municipal building, they've made a business of making money by selling to the highest bidder how to keep our people out of their homes, out of their neighborhoods. And I'm entrapped in that, but I'm going to fight it. And I don't want to sue the city, but I may have to. You know what I mean? I'm going to fight it. And I thank Allah. It's been 19 years. I was offered $5 million. The day I finished paying it off, August 2020, for the property. I asked the man, you forgot my plan? The minimum in the first year, it might take 3 years, but the first year I'm subscribing that we, those of us that's working together, will create the industry to the point that we're making no less than $1 million per week. What am I going to do with $5 million, I asked him? Put it in my pocket? We're talking about $1 million profit, not gross. Everything paid for. And a million pounds of meat moved out minimum per week. That translates into $1 million because we're averaging $1 per pound. Ground beef may be 50 cents, 75 cents a pound. Filet mignon might be almost $2 a pound, $2.25. And where one is short, the other one will make it up. But the average of that, how much can we do if we got $52 million at the end of the year? That was all profit. Everybody else is paid nice. The supplies are purchased, they paid. And we still got $1 million per week, $52 million to put back into our community. We're going to want people to tell us, if you got a talent that we can put money into you, invest in you to open up a business, then we want to use 20% of that million per week to put somebody in business. We want to use another 20% to have industries built. The first industry is the meat plant itself. We're going to need property the same size or bigger because every animal, as I say all the time, 1995 when I first started slaughtering, I would slaughter 10 animals every week and take 200 to 400 pounds off of each animal. The animals we slaughter as we go forward, we own the whole animal, so we'll need places for the hides to make leathers and suede good. Then we doing the lamb for wool, cashmere for the goat, and the feathers and everything from the poultry. They're telling me our seconds are going down. We're going to be here 10 seconds next. Then I'm going to have to bid us farewell till Wednesday. But the key is we need revenue that's spent just on us opening up industries, opening up business. The third place would be our own schools, our Clara Muhammad's and everything. The next one would be the African-American colleges. They may not be Muslim, but we want to help them. And my fifth one was something that I've seen to help ever since I was a child, where there's a catastrophe. Could have been a flood. It could have been a volcano, whatever, where people lose everything. We want to contribute to that. So if Allah bless us, we're going to be on the move. I got 10 seconds, so I'm going to say to everyone, thank you for your time. We'll see each other, inshallah, next Wednesday, 5 to 7. The halal industry, do for sale. Waleed Bilal, James Bashir, Nate Muhammad, we signing out. Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikumsalam.